Welcome back, everybody. We just got through with some great worship. We can celebrate all that not only Jesus has done, but what he's going to continue to do as we continue our series on community together. And what we've been walking through these past few weeks, and we're wrapping up today in our little, I guess, sermonette is the way to say it. I kind of have a little bit of teaching as we've had our new format with kind of some worship in Sunday school and groups after. We've been talking about God's character and attributes. God's character and attributes. And the reason we're doing that is because the most important thing for you and I to do is to not only know an almighty God, but to be fully known by an almighty God and continue to grow in a relationship with him. And we know that that's only through faith in Jesus Christ. And so to kick things off today, we've got a two-for-one thing. We're going to talk about God's character, but you're also going to go ahead and talk about God's character first, because you're going to let three people know right now, God is love. 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 It got a little crazy on the screen there. Yeah, the screen didn't work there, but God is love. It's so important for us to understand God is love. That's the most important thing that we can know. And that's the first character attribute we're going to talk about today, is God is love. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Then we're going to flip to the left to Hebrews after that, and then we're going to get to Ephesians as we wrap our time up, because we've only got three traits today that we're going to be walking through. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and flip there. If not, we'd love to put one in your hands. It's great to have one if you want one. A lot of people do things digitally. We talked about it a little bit earlier when we said hello to each other. You can follow along with us for free on our Vine Church app. Highly recommend that in this season that we're walking through our community series, but also wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, Zach Candler, Vine Production team, will make sure it's on the screen for you, right? So if you're either looking at the screen, looking at your screen, or looking at the Bible, ready to learn about God is love, give me an amen. Amen. Amen in God's house. This is what John says about God being love. He says this: whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So those old men that are Muppets up in the balcony, they don't know God, right? I always use the same expression. They're not half bad. No, they're all bad. That's my favorite one that they use when they're up there making fun of people. But they don't know God. So whoever does not know love does not know God. Whoever does not have love does not know God. So in other words, Christians, we can't be the Angry Bird Christians. We can't be the Sourpuss Christians. We've got to share the love of God, because we know the love of God, because God is love. Now let's think about this for just a second when it comes to God being love. God doesn't need love. There's no thing that God doesn't need to create something to love. He was love before creation existed. As a matter of fact, creation itself is an expression of God's love. So God is not tied to loving an object about how much it deserves to be loved or doesn't deserve to be loved, because God himself is love. His love transforms anyone who will receive it by faith. It is eternal. It is who God is. And if you don't like God's love, then heaven sure is going to stink. Now, many of us didn't learn about God's love, but here's the thing about God's love I want to be honest with you with. God's love was found in the Trinity. We won't dive into that. We'll go more in that a little bit later. His love existed before in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is in perfect harmony, the three distinct persons in one God, and it is not in any, here's where we can get stuck with. God's love, though, is not in conflict with his holiness, his righteousness, his judgment, or his wrath. See, we don't like that, but without God's wrath for sin, all things can't be made right. Death can't be defeated. We can't live as you and I were created to live. So in God's love, his righteousness, his mercy, his holiness, this all goes in harmony together, because God himself is love. So for each and every one of us, we have to be reminded that the fullness of God's love is this on display in the name of Jesus and him crucified and risen again for us. Now let me ask you, if God is love, does God require us to love him for God to be loved? No, right? Because God is love. So God makes the first move. We don't have to worry about whether we're, you know, we don't have to worry about whether we're scared to talk to that person or ask God out. God's already sent the invitation. He's already said, I love you. He's already saying, you just got to RSVP in faith. I love you. So whatever your view of God is today, we'll talk more about it in a minute, but whatever your view of God is today, if he's angry, if he's a picture on a wall, if you think he's fake, you think he's imaginary, just know one thing. If you have any ounce of love, that is from a creator God. And if that's what you think love is, I want to introduce you to the greatest love of all, that is Jesus Christ, displayed fully for you and I. Because you and I as Christians not only get to experience the fullness of God's love in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get to live out Matthew 22 when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You and I get to show God's love to everyone else, even though we couldn't even fathom it before we knew Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The next thing that we have to know about God, the next attribute of his character that is so important in the culture we live in today, we've scratched the surface on it, but we're going to go a little deeper today, is that God is truth. God is truth. If you've got your Bible, you can flip a few pages to your left. We're going to be in Hebrews, and the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 6, verse 18, about God being the truth. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, and we who have fled take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. In a world that says you can be your own God and there are many gods and many paths lead to God and this and that, no, there is only one God and he alone is the truth. God is the big T, big R, big U, big T, big H truth. He's not a little T truth. God himself is the truth. It is absolute. It does not change, and it can always be relied upon. While many things in this world keep shifting with the truth by this discovery or that discovery or this study or that study, the one thing that's remained constant before the foundation of the earth is that God is alone absolute. Absolute truth. It is above all. Think about it this way. When you and I were still unfaithful to him, his truth still stood still. His truth still stands. He was still going to rescue us if we trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by faith in spite of our unfaithfulness. And this should give us hope because it means that his truth will never fail. His words, his promises, his judgment always set out to accomplish what he says. You and I can build our life on the rock of God's truth. That's what Jesus was meaning on building our life upon the rock in Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, talking about the builder of the rock. That rock, no matter what the storms of life brought, still stood because it was built upon God's truth. You and I not only can build our life upon it, but our eternity upon it. God is true to his word. God cannot lie. I don't know about you, that's a good thing. God doesn't even give you a white lie. Like, do I look fat in this dress? You know? Do I look fat in this shirt? Yes. God will say yes. Yes, you do. You need to do something about it, right? Even a little white lie. Do these shoes make my feet look small? Do they make them look big? Do I have something in my teeth? Like, God's going to tell you the truth. He's not going to beat around the bush. And that's good. Because that means we know he's working it all out for his glory and our good. You and I can be thankful for that because we know that his truth alone can save. Not the next big fad, not the growing self-help section, not the next subscription, not the buy more, buy more, buy more to find out my method. No, you just get to know God and you know the truth. And the last aspect of God's character and attribute today is God is merciful. God is merciful. Let's see what Paul wrote the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 2, if you want to keep flipping left in your Bible to get there. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5 tells us about God's mercy. And it says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. God's mercy. Mercy is unreceived punishment. Grace is undeserved favor. So it is by grace you have been saved. We have God's undeserved favor, but it's because of his great love he's given us mercy. You and I, deserving death, God's wrath for our sin, being separated from him, rebelling against him. You and I, that is the penalty you and I deserve, but in his mercy, we don't receive it. Jesus fully takes it. God is merciful. We always share this in the tough seasons. What is it, Lamentations 3? His mercies are new every morning. That's great, but his mercies are new every breath. Every step we take, God's mercy is he's faithful. They're always new. Think about that. You and I deserved death. Deserved it. Deserved not God's truth, not his love, not his promise. But in his mercy, he said, I'm going to put it upon myself and my one and only son, Jesus Christ. He's merciful. His mercy. His mercy is his expression of compassion to you and I who move against his will in sin. And again, is on full display at the cross. You and I can have hope in that, because here's the truth of the matter, church, and maybe you've never heard this at church, or maybe you've heard me say it a million times and this just needs to be reminded of today. Until Jesus calls us home, even the Christian will fall short of God every day. But in his great mercy, his great mercy never fails. He never lets us down. We can only receive it by faith. And when we do, we can't lose it. Isn't that great? That we have his mercy, that we know his mercy. And now that we have his mercy, I can extend it. If you offend me, if you hurt me, if you don't believe what I believe, I can extend God's mercy because he gave it to me. Because the truth of the matter is, I don't want it. I don't want to pray for my enemy. Eye for an eye, tooth for... Too close to prayer, but tooth for a tooth. But I'm just saying, wherever we are, right? You hurt me, I want to hurt you, but instead, God said, instead, when you hurt me, I came for you. When you turned your back on me, I still gave open arms on the cross. Church, God is love. God is truth. God is merciful. Wherever you are right now and you're listening, just know that God is love. He is not mad at you. He is not angry at you. He has done everything that he possibly can, even dying to be in relationship with you. That should cause you to praise. That should cause us to worship him. But most importantly, that should cause us to want everyone to know him, because this world is going to tell you, you got to jump through these 17 hoops to get to God. You've got to, if you want to be my friend, you got to get this checklist. The prophetesses, the Spice Girl said, if you want to be my lover, you got to get right. Like, we just had to see that, right? That's what we tell people. You've got this checklist. If you want my love, you better do this, you better do that, you better do this. And God said, no. I'm going to show you my love, because I'm going to come for you and do for you what you can't do for yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't serve enough. You can't give enough. You can't have your name on enough bricks. You can't support enough nonprofits to be able to be in right relationship with God. And instead of leaving us in that hopeless, helpless state that sin left us in, God said, I love you enough, I'm going to do something about it. He rips the very fabric of time and he steps down to us. Paul writes this a little bit different this way in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. He says it to you and I when it talks about God's grace. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In other words, if you and I had a formula to get to God, it would be great. But the formula is Jesus. There isn't a lot of things that you can do. You can't give this checklist and checkbox to do. It's only through faith. You see, when Jesus came, he lives the perfect sinless life you and I can't live. Sin is anything that is against the perfect will of God. And all of us, no matter how hall of fame our life is, will always fall short. We can never be 100 with God. We can never be perfectly righteous with God. So Jesus lives that righteous life for us. Now we can have his righteousness and have access to God. But then Jesus says, hey, I'm not going to stop there, because before Jesus came to get righteousness, you had to keep sacrificing things. You had to figure out a goat, a cow, a bull, a dove. You had to figure all these things out to continue to be made righteous. And Jesus said, hey, I'm going to pay the penalty for that once and for all. I'm going to die on the cross and be an eternal sacrifice for you. You're not going to have to figure out sacrificial things all the time. You're not going to have to do that. Instead, I'm going to pay for your sin past, present and future. The sin you're going to commit at the red light here in a minute, the sin you're going to commit at lunch, the sin you're going to commit when your kid doesn't wake up to go to school on Tuesday. Whatever that is, God, Jesus has already paid for it on the cross. Now you and I, through that, can sit at God's table. We've got a seat at God's table. We not only have access to him through righteousness, we have a seat at his table. But Jesus said, that's not enough. I'm going to love you enough. I'm going to rise again on the third day so that you can have life and have it to the full. That life and have it to the full is so now you and I not only have access to God through Christ's righteousness, a seat at his table through Jesus' eternal sacrifice, now we can have a conversation with God eternally. An almighty God that spoke everything into existence. The only way to get it, though, is through faith. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We just have to freely receive it. So with every head bow and every eye closed, what we do each and every week is we try to remind everyone that is in Jesus Christ of this great gift of God we've been given with salvation through Jesus, and how we are called to share God's love, to share God's truth, to share God's mercy with all. But for others today, for the first time, the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart. And you are now realizing that you've been searching for truth, been searching for love, and searching for mercy in all the wrong places. And Jesus Christ is what you see. Here at the Vine Church, nobody prays alone. So we're about to say a prayer out loud here in a moment. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat the words of this prayer of faith after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, for the first time in the house or you're watching online, you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're fully experiencing God's love for the first time. If that's you, I want you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If you're online watching, you can put a raised hand emoji. Shoot us a message. We would love to reach out to you on our socials. You can do it through our Vine Church app. We want to celebrate this decision with you because this is not the finish line. This is the starting block of your eternity and relationship with God. And the best way to experience is in a local church near you. We would love to invite you to come experience that with us here at the Vine. Maybe you're traveling through and you want to do that. Most importantly, we want you to be able to be active and engaged in the local church throughout the week. And for the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up. We're about to have our time of discussion here as we do each and every week. And just a reminder, the reason we're in groups is we want to make sure that we have the richest conversation possible. We want to guide the conversation because we believe that every voice is important as we have this time together. So some people aren't going to speak, some people are going to speak, but most importantly, we want the Holy Spirit to speak to all of us. And we know that that's what's going to happen as we guide these conversations. And you have someone leading those conversations, and you speak together and grow together. Sometimes in those conversations, you'll find out how you can pray for somebody. Sometimes in those conversations, you're going to find out you need prayer. But whatever that is, we're going to have a good time today because we've only got one question to answer today, and it is this. What should our response be to God's love, God's truth, and God's mercy? What should our response be to God's love, God's truth, and God's mercy? Hope you have a great week. Next week, we're going to be diving in. You're going to see people getting in groups here in a moment, but we're going to be diving into the person of Jesus Christ. Have a great week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.